And this is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The Supreme Court's historic ruling yesterday on same-sex marriages triggered a celebration and jubilation among Texas gay rights supporters. Texas conservative leaders were quick to condemn the high court's decision, though. This is an issue that remains bitterly divided in the Lone Star State. And for now, the decisions will have limited impact on the state's gay and lesbian couples. Texas still bars couples from same-sex marriage, and this decision does not change that. Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott's office declined to comment on the effect of the ruling in Texas. To talk about this impact, though, and the end of DOMA, we're going to be turning to Rebecca L. Robinson. She is with the ACLU of Texas. She's a legal and policy director. Rebecca, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you can call in and tell us what you think the impact of this decision is going to have on Texas. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email your comments and questions to thesource@tpr.org. So, Rebecca, can you explain, though, because we're Texas, are we completely insulated from the impact of the Supreme Court's rulings, or will it have impact on same-sex couples who have Social Security benefits, or maybe they work for the federal government? Will that change?
Well, I think things are moving rapidly. Even today, we've seen some changes that could affect people's rights right here in Texas. The decision out of the Supreme Court yesterday was an historic one for lesbian and gay Americans, and I think it's the beginning of the end of state-sanctioned discrimination. Although the DOMA decision did not require states to permit marriage equality in their states, so in that sense it didn't overturn Texas's rule banning gay marriage. It did say that the federal government must treat people who are legally married the same as whether they're gay or and lesbian or heterosexual. Let's treat all those people the same.
Right. So for now on, let me say that for now on, the federal government will not distinguish a marriage on whether or not it's opposite sex couples or same sex couples.
Right. What DOMA said was that for federal law purposes, there are approximately 1,100 places in federal law where your marital status matters for some right or responsibility or, you know, benefit. And what DOMA did was say, for heterosexual couples, the federal government just looks to the law of the state to figure out whether you're validly married. But for same-sex couples, it completely ignores the law of the state. And this case said the government can't discriminate against couples in that way. If you're legally married in your state, then you're legally married for federal law purposes. Now, for people who are legally married in a state and then move someplace like Texas that does not have the freedom to marry, it may take a while for us to get to the place where there is equality for those folks. Just today, Senator Dianne Feinstein and Representative Nadler of New York have filed the Respect for Marriage Act, which would correct that imbalance, which would say that for federal government purposes, people who are validly married, no matter where they live, would be entitled to the same equal treatment under the federal law.
Okay, whether that passes, that's going to be a long haul, particularly with the composition of the Texas House of the United States House Congress. So let's talk about how things are today. I mean, we know that the Supreme Court ruled that the federal government cannot discriminate against same-sex married couples. And so in Texas, if you're working for the federal government, you now have some protection, right?
Well, if you live in Texas, you cannot be legally married to a person of the same sex in Texas. And so that is still not going to be available to people in Texas. And I think that does create some confusion for people. It doesn't make any sense that we should have this patchwork where people in some states, 13 states and about 30% of the American population are now freedom to marry states, and then the rest are in states where they can't be married. But unfortunately, that is the patchwork that we have.
But the federal – so is it the answer is we don't know yet?
Well, the Obama administration is already moving to make it so that those 1,100 places in federal law, to the extent that it's up to the executive to decide how to apply that law, The Obama administration is already moving to make it so that it will be the law of the state where you're married that will apply, as opposed to the law of the state where you'll live. Right now, it's not uniform across federal law. But that rulemaking process takes some time. It's not something that can just happen with a stroke of a pen.
So it would make it easier if Texas recognized same-sex marriages?
Would it make it easier? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And
it would clarify things for people who either want to be married in this state or who were married legally in another state and have moved here.
You know, you talk about this patchwork of and it's not just this. As we're seeing states being pulled further and further apart, some states will have same-sex marriage. Some states will have abortion. Some states will have medical marijuana. You know, some states will have make it harder for people to vote than other states now with the striking down of the Voting Rights Act. It seems like the country is going to become less and less recognizable depending upon which state you're in.
Well, I guess because I fight for civil liberties for a living, I like to think of it as a march toward more civil liberty, and I think that's the direction that we're certainly moving with respect to marriage equality. You know, just a year ago, if you had looked at the map of the United States, you would have seen only 6 states and about 11% of the population where you had freedom to marry. And now today it's 13 states and 30% of the population. So I think we're moving in the right direction. And I don't think that this patchwork situation is going to be forever. You know, and with respect to some of the other issues that you mentioned, to the extent that those are covered by constitutional law, you know, whether it's the privilege to vote or whether it is a woman's right to make her own decisions about her health care, advocates are certainly going to continue to fight for people in states like ours where those rights are trying to be.
Right. And then won't people start making decisions about where they live based on which state is progressive or not?
Well, I think that's already happening. I think it's already the case that individuals choose to leave states like Texas because they want to have the freedom to marry. I think it's probably also the case that businesses may make decisions about whether they want to relocate someplace because they want to be able to attract and retain the best and the brightest talent, and they don't want to be in a place where their employees are not treated equally by the state government. So, yeah, I think that's already an issue.
But you're talking about the federal government maybe trying to impose unilaterally across the nation a respect for marriage law that would recognize same-sex marriage all across the nation.
Well, let's be clear about what that proposed law would do. It would not require the state of Texas to allow anybody to get married here. But what it would do is it would say, for federal government purposes, the federal government will recognize your marriage. So if a couple from Texas went to Massachusetts or New York and got married, at least for federal government purposes, those folks would be entitled to the same privileges and benefits and responsibilities as any other married couple.
Okay. Well, that would clear up some confusion. Well, we're going to continue this conversation about the future of same-sex marriage in America. Rebecca Robertson is from the ACLU. She's on the line. We also want your phone calls. The number to call is 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the future of same-sex marriage in America after yesterday's historic Supreme Court ruling striking out a key part of the Defense of Marriage Act, also known as DOMA. We've been talking with Rebecca L. Robertson. She is with the ACLU of Texas, the legal and policy director there. I'm going to bring in, also I want to make sure that we're going to get your phone calls in if you want to join the conversation. The number is 614-8980. 614-8980. Talk about your experiences, your own personal evolution. Did you used to think that, you know, this was never going to happen in America, and here we are today? Do you think that Texas would ever come around on this issue? If you've been married elsewhere and as a same-sex couple and you've come to Texas and you're dealing with that, we want to hear your story. And that's similar to the story that we have now with joining me in the studio. It's Daryl Garcia Parsons. He is with the Steering Committee of the Human Rights Campaign. And Daryl, you are in a same-sex marriage, correct?
Yes, I am, David. Thank you.
And so where'd you get married?
New York City, New York.
How was that?
It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. A day that I never thought would happen in my life, of course. It was August 15th, 2012 of last year. My husband, Jason, and I, we flew to New York and 2 days later, we were married. And one of our friends, she sat in as our witness during the ceremony. We were treated with respect. We were treated with dignity. We were treated like any couple who wants to get married, who's in love with each other, should be treated.
Are you from Texas?
I'm not. I'm from Michigan originally.
Okay, but you had to leave Texas to go there.
We had to leave Texas to go get married. We did not take any of our family or friends with us. We did not have a ceremony there, only because we didn't want to impose the cost of having to travel to New York City on our friends and family. And we wanted to make a little honeymoon out of it, too, while we were there. So, yes, we had to leave Texas, which was sad because my husband is from Texas. He's born and raised in Rockport, Texas. His family is there. So we would have liked to have had a huge wedding here where everyone could have attended. We did have a wedding celebration this past March at two of our good friends' home. They opened up their home to us, so we had a celebration. My family came, Jason's family came, our friends came, and it was a great day. We had two great days.
You know, the whole sociological experience of having things like marriages and baptisms, and it's a rite of passage that you share with your community. You know, so you're in front of all your friends and family, you're in front of your community, and you say, we're going to meet, this is my partner in life, and we're going to go through this journey through time together. And you stand in front of the whole community and say, this is what we're going to do. And having to go to out of your community to New York City, although that's romantic and fantastic, and it's always great to be in New York City, it shouldn't have to, you know.
Well, you're absolutely correct. We shouldn't have to leave San Antonio, Texas, to go get married. Our neighbors can go down to City Hall. Our heterosexual neighbors can go down to City Hall and get married, but we have to fly 1,700 miles away to do it. Where's the fairness of that?
So here you are today. You had the experience, the Supreme Court. Where were you when you heard about the Supreme Court ruling? And
I was at home. I had not gone into work yet. Of course, I was on SCOTUS blog. Checking it just like everybody else in
Hitting
Texas
F5,
probably was.
Refresh.
Right. So I was getting the news through SCOTUS blog and watching on CNN. And the minute I heard that DOMA crumbled like it should have, I cried. I had tears of joy. My husband Jason was on his way to work. He cried. I think there were a lot of tears of joy that day.
How do you expect, with the way things are today, that the DOMA, as part of DOMA being struck out, is going to impact your life?
Well, that's a good question. You know, Rebecca, she tried addressing some of those things. And it's right now, I think there's a lot of sorting out to do, like she said. I'm not exactly sure. You know, there's 1,100 federal benefits that apply to a married couple or more. And I'm not exactly sure which 1,100 are going to apply to us.
I mean, did you file your taxes jointly before or separately?
Separately.
Do you think you'll file them as a joint?
It's funny that you asked that, because we were actually excited about the idea of filing taxes next year, jointly.
And so you'll probably save a little money too, or I don't know. How does that work? Do you save money, or does it cost more?
That's a good question. We're also going to have to get a tax preparer next year.
Yeah, so that's one of the issues. Let me ask Rebecca Robertson of the ACLU, are you required to file jointly if you're in a same-sex marriage? How does that work?
Well, I will say that I'm a constitutional lawyer and not a tax lawyer, so people need to definitely consult with their tax preparers about this. But generally, just like any married couple, for some folks it will be a benefit if you file jointly and you may get some money back. And people can also refile their taxes from previous years if that would be a benefit to them. But this is something that's going to have to be sorted out as the administration figures out whether, for tax purposes, it's going to be the law of the place where Daryl and Jason were married or the law of the place where Daryl and Jason live today that applies for federal income tax purposes. And as he said, it's just something that's up in the air right now for couples like them and for other families that live in states that don't have the freedom.
And it was taxes that eventually brought this before the Supreme Court because of the original case.
Right. Edie Windsor, who is the client of the ACLU of New York and our national LGBT project, was with her partner, Thea Spire, for more than 40 years. And when Thea was given a terminal diagnosis by her doctors, at that time it had become permissible in New York for couples to marry in places where it was legal and to come back to New York and have their marriages recognized. So Edie and Thea went to Canada in 2007 and were legally married, and their home state of New York recognized their marriage. But when Thea died and left her share of their home to her wife, Edie was hit with an estate tax bill for over $300,000 by the IRS, and her bill would have been zero if she had been married to a man named Theo in Canada in 2007. And that was the very issue that came up before the Supreme Court under DOMA. Under DOMA, the federal government was required to treat Edie and Thea's marriage as if it didn't exist. And that's the thing that the Supreme Court said is intolerable under.
Okay, I do want to get in some breaking news here. The Senate majority has voted to pass the immigration bill with a new pathway to citizenship. This does impact if there is a pathway to citizenship, there are questions about marriage. And so now the same-sex couples who cross borders, that impacts that as well.
Right. It has always been the case that a heterosexual married couple, binational couple, the American member of that couple could sponsor his or her spouse to get a green card. And that has been one of the controversies about the path to citizenship and comprehensive immigration reform is would that be possible for binational gay and lesbian couples? And with the overturning of DOMA, that's now a moot question. Now that is going to be possible for binational couples who were legally married abroad.
To join the conversation.
Or in a state in the United States.
Okay, to join the conversation, give us a call, 614-8980, 614-8980. What do you think about the Supreme Court's decision on the defense of marriage? Let's go to the phones right now. Lisa's been so patient. Lisa, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me. I guess I just want to say that I find it so frustrating. The show before this, you know, they were saying, what do we look forward to in our country and what are we can't sleep about at night? And then we get these great, amazing news that we're finally recognizing people as human beings instead of somehow them versus us. But here I am in Texas, and it's so exciting what happened last night. But then you have a governor who has all the power. My vote does not count in Texas. That really upsets me. And I'm curious what the rest of the world thinks about that.
Well, Lisa, thank you for your call. And we'll see what our guest, Daryl Garcia Parsons, what do you think about what Lisa had to say?
Well, Lisa, right now, unfortunately, we live in two Americas. We live in America, like Rebecca said, where 30% of the population has marriage equality. But then you have other places where discrimination exists. And like Rebecca mentioned also, that we have to put patchwork laws into place. And even here in San Antonio, we're having to put patchwork laws into place. Councilman Diego Bernal, City Council District 1, has introduced a human rights ordinance to protect LGBT people here who contract with the city and who are denied access to public places, or could be denied access to public places, I guess I should say. So even here in San Antonio, we're still fighting to put those patchwork laws into place because we're not one America yet. We're still two Americas, and that is not going to stand. There's no way that a nation divided can stand. We've seen that in history in the past, and for sure we will get there. It's going to take a lot of efforts and energy from everybody to get involved, to call their city council person, to get this human rights ordinance passed, to call the governor, to vote. I mean, our voter turnout in this last city election was pathetic, and people need to exercise their given right to get out there and vote and get
right.
People in
Governor
office.
Perry was, you know, legally elected to office. Mm-hmm. He represents the state of Texas under the people that voted for him, and that's not under dispute. It's just if the people in Texas want to change, they need to vote for a change. Let's go back to the phone. So Jeff is standing by. Jeff, welcome to The Source.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing great,
sir. I was wondering if the ACLU is already looking at a lawsuit to declare the Texas constitutional amendment against gay marriage unconstitutional because of the full faith and credit clause in the Constitution. People go out of state and come back here to Texas where they were married out of state, and if you go out to Las Vegas and get married in a straight marriage and come back here to Texas, you're married under the full faith and credit clause. What are you looking for there?
Okay, Rebecca, go ahead.
Steph, you raise a really good point. You sound like a lawyer talking about the full faith and credit clause. So actually, DOMA has more than one provision. The provision that was at issue in the Supreme Court yesterday, the one that we've talked about, says how the federal government has to treat these marriages. But it has another provision that says that the states don't have to recognize same-sex marriages performed in other states. And that provision was not before the court yesterday, and so it didn't get resolved yesterday. I will tell you that I'm pretty confident that a case like that is probably already working its way through the system. I bet that we'll see something like that. The Respect for Marriage Act would be one way to take care of that, but it is something that advocates at the ACLU and other LGBT advocacy organizations are looking at. How are we going to address the remaining states where we don't have the freedom?
Okay, I want to get in one more caller real quickly. Jennifer, you're on the air. Jennifer, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to take issue with the caller who said that, that we have a governor, Governor Perry, who is only now recognizing people as human beings, when I have great respect for Governor Perry. He has a wonderful pro-life stance. Texans are predominantly, the majority are pro-life, and he wants to defend the unborn baby. There's nothing there that disrespects human life, so I do take issue with that. He's a wonderful man.
I think
we're lucky to have him.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you. I really appreciate your call. I wanted to make sure we got your side on. And, we're not slamming Governor Perry. He is the man who was voted in by the people, and that's how it works. So this is The Source on KSTX. We've run out of time on this important topic. You mentioned Diego Bernal. We're going to have him in on Monday to talk about the ordinance that he's proposing. I want to thank Rebecca L. Robertson, ACLU of Texas, and also Daryl Garcia Parsons of the Steering Committee for Human Rights Campaign. We'll be right back.